Good afternoon. My name is Sharon Zuda, and as I said, I am looking at reuse of data from the catalogue. What I'm going to say probably works a bit with what we've heard yesterday as well as today about how relevant we are, where we get our funding from, and should we still exist. When we educate library students about cataloguing, we always ask them to think about the purpose of the catalogue. Why do we have a catalogue? What do we put in it? How do we put it in it? How do we describe? How do we display? What schema should we use? What we don't ask them is how we can use our library catalogue to support our parent institutions, the ones that actually pay for us to get the catalogues. We also don't ask them to think about how we can manipulate the data within our systems to support their needs. One of the things that we've been doing at the University of South Australia, probably without really thinking about it in that first instance, is reusing our catalogue and the data in it to support the university and check out what needs they have. Now, the library uses Voyager as its integrated management system, but it doesn't tend to use it as a discovery tool. We have Summon and VUFine as our discovery tools. We needed to know how we could support the university using our skills and the tools that we have, and in particular these tools, to stop the university from buying more software or developing software that was doing the same job as what we were. And when we looked at that, we actually found that there were quite a few areas. We could do the software tracking for the university's IT department. We could help the copyright officer with registration database of what they had of copyrightable material. We could assist copyright audits. We could do equipment tracking for departments that loan their equipment out to students. We could assist the art museum that's within the university with asset control, and we could support the university with its special collections. But the key to all this was reusing the data and reusing the systems that we had and using Microsoft Access, Summon and VUFine to support that as well. That one shouldn't have come up right there. We'll go to the next one. Okay, it's playing silly people with me because it shouldn't come up just yet with that either. One of the ways that we have done this before to prove that we could reuse data was we created subject description pages that reuses data from our catalogue rather than having to create everything separately. So on the screen that I have up at the moment, we have a page that we use for describing a database. And all the numbers to the sides are where we take them out of the mark field of our catalogue. These pages don't exist until you click on the link, and they're dynamically generated at the time. And when we start looking at that, we start to realise there was more ways we could use our catalogue to support other areas. One of those areas was for the University Centre for English Language. We call them CELUSA. They are a separately funded, staffed library with separate loan conditions to ours. However, their staff actually catalogue their items directly into our library system. Their holdings are mingled with ours. They are a considerably smaller library than ours. They have under 5,000 items. So using Voyager's OPAC, we had an issue in that the books mingled together, quite lovely in one case, but not to the benefit of our students or theirs, in that staff and students were having trouble working out which library the item was in because they're both located at a similar campus, and the collection for CELUSA was being lost. To help them out, we implemented VUFind, and we found that we could split our catalogue. Unlike the discovery tools that put everything together, this actually allowed us to split them back out but use the same database behind it. And the way we do that is We use an extraction script for SQL, so the data still goes into Voyager. It's catalogued in the same way. Each library uses their own mark tags that they feel suits their data the best. When it comes through, it is extracted on a daily basis, sorted into the various types. So on the screen, I have the main library catalogue. I have the bright red one so that everyone knows that it's the offline catalogue. And then we have the Seleucia catalogue. The data gets split as it goes through. It gets extra data added to it to match the library that it's going to. It has fields added to it at the same time to enhance the faceted search feature, where we extract data out of our holdings record and actually embed them into fields within the mark record to allow for collections to be grouped together. So instead of saying that we have the Seleucia periodical collection, the Seleucia main collection, the Seleucia teaching collection, and I think they have a short-term collection, it now just says Seleucia Library. And it's not till you go in there and look for an item that you start being told where the items are. The script is run through, as I said, on a nightly basis. Once a week, though, we go through and we reload every catalogue from scratch. We extract a full extraction. This means that any problems that we've had with loads during the week are fixed, and it doesn't take that long to do, really. We've managed to create 4 to 5 different catalogues with an extraction that takes maybe 2 hours to extract, which doesn't put the system down, and 5 minutes to put it back in again. Sam Stagg Museum was another area that we thought we could assist with. They needed a system that could provide an inventory for the artwork that they held, that they could search, use to list where the artwork was stored, that they could work out what they had by what artist, format, date, etc., which we interpreted as they need a catalogue of their collection with a searchable interface and loans module, which was what they were after. We created a schema within Voyager to support their data. Public catalogue wasn't required, so we could use the mark tags a bit inventively. The data's not going anywhere else except for their library and within our system. And we could actually use access reports to give them the best reporting style they need. So now if they want to go through and say, I need to know all of the artworks that happen to be on loan and in display of the Vice-Chancellor's office, they can find it straight away. If they want to know all the artworks for an exhibition by particular artists, it comes up. We are working with them, though, to provide a catalogue for their own staff usage in they would like the images of the artwork with the actual descriptions within the catalogue, which a lot of our catalogues are already doing. We're working with them. They're in the process of taking photographs of all their artwork at the moment. But for copyright reasons, it cannot be made public. Next area that we were working with was the photography department within the Division of Business. We were quite lucky with that department in that one of the gentlemen who's working there, Stephen Beckett, is a librarian. He has library training, so he actually recognised the fact that a library system could help them and that there is relevance in using barcodes and things. So he, once again, didn't need a catalogue because the students are told what equipment they need and can go and borrow, but they did need an inventory, almost like an asset control, and they did need to know who had what. So, again, a schema was developed. We created forms for them to fill in rather than doing a direct mark entry of data, and then they provide these forms that upload to our server and we script them into our database. Again, we don't have to worry about the items on display within our catalogue. They are behind the scenes. This is just a short form of what we did for a 35mm contact frame. So it contains all the data that they need without having to worry about anything else. The 998 is a field that we add in there just so that we can follow where the item has come from in our reports. university's IT department was another area that we could assist in that same manner. Anyone who's dealt with IT and you ask them to install software for you will know that it is hard for them to come through at times with the software you need when you need it. There's license involved. It may take them a while to find the software, who has it, who's been installing it. We were able to assist in this manner by using the library catalogue to record every bit of software that they purchased. And then they could issue them out to the installers as they go through and keep track of where they were. This one we did slightly differently in that the library staff actually catalogued these items. We worked with the IT department in what fields were necessarily and how they wanted them coded, how they wanted them sorted, but our staff are the ones who do the direct entry there. We did a schema that came up and met their needs. Again, this is a sample of one that they've got. Our staff go across to what we affectionately call the dungeon. We had to get swipe card access to go through. It's a little room, and I mean a little room. It has a compactor and just enough width for a computer beside it. And you have to go through several offices and corridors to get there before you find it, and the light switch is another couple of offices away. The staff will collect anything that's there. We go there once a month. If there's enough items, we take them back to the library and catalogue them there in comfort. If there's only one or two items, we use that computer to input them right there. When we finished, we're actually responsible for taking them back and shelving them into the compactors in the correct areas for them. So we get a little bit of shelving for them. The main area that we've been using a lot, though, that supports the university, the library and the academics was with copyright and the course e-readers. Now, the university has mandated that if you want an electronic reader, they must come through the digital resource service, which is within the library. We have staff there who spend their time working with document services to get copies of every reader and then checks them for copyright compliance. And then it either refers the academic to the copyright officer or negotiates with them to get their records compliant. We have arranged for a link to be embedded on every course page. If there is an electronic reader available, it will be there for students to directly link from. The records are put into our catalogue so students can search them there, but if they go from the link from their course page, they get to the listing here, which is a listing of only the items for their course, so it makes it a little bit easier for them to find. However, the big part of it that comes through was the copyright auditing. When we get audited, you need to be able to say, what's the title? Where did it come from? How many pages? Does it have illustrations? When did you do it? You've got to list all your information, and our records have been designed to actually give that data. So I've outlined some of the bits there in red. The 008 we use for marking down whether an item has illustrations or not. With the copyright audit, we don't need to know what the illustrations are, just that they're present. We have the titles, we have the authors, we have the course code, so we can actually work out what course it was that required the item, if there were multiple courses, and then work out our student numbers from that point. We have our citation details so that they can go through. Plus, we have the pages, so we know how many pages we copied as we went through that item. And we always follow that through. Using Access, we're able to extract all of this data and put it into a spreadsheet for the copyright officer, and then it's just a matter of going through and checking some of the items, which has saved a lot of time going through that. Now, I am going quick for you. Just give you time for questions. But the big question that's going to come down is, yesterday Constance Malpass came through and said, with a lot of the electronic resources, libraries are being undervalued. Why do we exist if you can get it online? We know that it's our parent institutions who give us the funding to buy new library systems. If our resources are online, why do we need new library systems? Today we were debating whether we should be cataloguing or not. So the aim of the talk for me today was mainly to say, what can your library do to support your institution and make sure that they know that we're more than books, we're more than journals, we're more than electronic resources. We can actually help them with our skills and the software we currently have to meet their needs as well. Thank you.
Again, time for a couple of questions, and somebody, a gentleman with his hand up there in the close to the back row there. Time for a couple of questions for Sharon. Yeah.
Try to get quick.
You've done well.
My name's David Sayers. I'm with the Treasury Library. But when I was with their services, we did what you're doing about 16 years ago for giant projects, for technical bits and pieces. How did you overcome the prejudice of everybody else not wanting the library to get that power?
We're pushy. It's not a matter of power, I suppose, in some ways. It was, we had the skills for some of it, and others was, if the library's got the software and can do it, we don't have to pay for it, and we don't have to pay for the staff. So it's a little bit of that both. I haven't really had anyone, Helen might be able to answer, but I haven't had anyone who said we shouldn't be doing it.
John Butera from Swinburne. Did you say you didn't get any extra resources for staffing?
For what part?
For actually doing the records.
No, we don't. It's within our existing staff.
Okay, thank you.
No more hands at this stage, but again, there will be time, hopefully, for a couple more questions towards the end. Please thank Sharon.